ところに行
Okay, First Corinthians chapter 12. We read verse 13. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Yeah, so when you are baptized, you are baptized into this one body. You know this one body is the church. There's only one church. We put aside your church or my church. We need to understand the church belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. I cannot lay claim over the ownership of the church. I have no rights to do that. Because I have no life for you, neither have I shed my blood for you. Understand what I'm saying? It is Christ who has done his job for us. Now, I think with this in mind, we can turn to Acts chapter 20. We read verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take it to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Now, here he talks about shepherd the church of God which he bought with his own blood. So, if you have not been bought by the blood of Jesus, then you are not part of the church of God. Simple as that. Right? That's why we said baptism is so important. It's a rebirth. It's a birth that is from heaven and from above. So, if I ask you, have you been bought by the blood of Jesus? It's a very crucial question to ask. Now, we know that only when a person is baptized correctly, then he is bought by the blood of Jesus. Right? Now, I think I want to explain a bit more now. Right? To be bought means you are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Yeah? You're redeemed. Now, I want you to read Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now we read verse 7, yes? Now, in Him, meaning in Jesus, yeah, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Okay? In Him, yeah? I ask you a very simple question. How are you in Christ? Baptism. You are baptized into Christ, therefore you are now in Christ. So meaning, if you have not been baptized into Christ, you are not redeemed. You are not bought by the blood of Jesus. Can you see how important it is? Right? So that's why to us this is very important and this is very clear. But today within Christianity, this idea has been what? Thrown out the window. It's not, no, it's not important. And as long as you will.
Hello, I'm busy in Kazan.
Okay. So he said, in Him we have redemption through His blood, in Christ Jesus. So if you are not in Him, there is no redemption. Simple as that. Right? So if you are not baptized, your sins remain. That's it. That's no matter how you look at it, when you have got the foundation correct, everything clicks. Yeah. It's just like everything becomes red clear to you. But if you have not got the basic right, yeah, everything is like distorted, not very clear. Okay? So that's why in Christ Jesus you are redeemed. So if we look at the Colossians, yeah? Colossians chapter 1.
Sorry, Pastor. Before we go, I have a question that I was supposed to be doing in the afternoon, but about the baptism of children.
I tell what, I will come to that, yeah? Because that is another topic by itself. I will come to that. Okay? Now, what I want you to do is, yeah, read Colossians chapter 1. Yeah? Colossians chapter 1. We read verse 14, yeah? 14. Okay, here again it says, in whom? In whom in Jesus, is it? Because the previous verse, the preceding verse, verse 13, talks about the Son of God, it's not the Son. In whom we have redemption through the blood. Can you see? The forgiveness of sin. So meaning if you are not baptized into Christ, if you are not in Christ, then there is no forgiveness of sin. Simple as that. Okay?
From the book.
Right? Now, so, when we talk about a church, yeah, the church is a group of people whom God has brought up, right? By His blood. Church is by His blood. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do now, yeah, is I want to show you some Old Testament example, yeah, to confirm that actually there is only one church. Again, I said the church does not belong to me, neither does it belong to you. The church belongs to God, right? I think this idea must be very clear in our mind. So when we come to the church, yeah, we will not think that, oh, this church belongs to me, I'm the first one to start it. No. The church belongs to Jesus. Simple as that. You see in the church, yeah, sometimes in churches, they are in church fighting. Why? Because they have failed to understand that the church belongs to Jesus. I have not died for you. I have not shed my blood for you. Right? So the church does not belong to me. In the true Jesus church, there is no founder. The founder is the Holy Spirit, God Himself. And so we don't believe in founder of the church. The founder is Christ. If you really want to use the word founder, Christ is the only person. But you get what I'm saying? Right. Now with this, yeah, actually the Old Testament scriptures point to the future concerning the church. Right? Can I ask you a question? You know, in the time of Noah, how many arks were built? How many? One. Okay. You know why God decided to destroy the world then? Why did God want to destroy the world? Sinful, sin, evil, violence. Okay. But just now remember, I think it's him. He quoted 1 Peter, remember that? We turn to 1 Peter again. Chapter 3, yeah? Okay, Franco, I want you to read verse 20. Read very carefully. Go ahead. Yeah, verse 20.
Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water.
Okay, now, from Genesis, yeah, how were they saved? How were Noah and his family saved? How were they saved?
By entering the ark.
By entering into the ark, yeah. But what does he say here? How were they saved?
They saved by water.
Saved through water.
Through water, yes.
It's quite strange, isn't it? How did the water save them? How did the water say?
The water is the ark, because it was the boat.
Yeah, but they were inside the ark. Yeah, you know the water drowned all the people. All the people who were not in the ark perished. Okay, now. You know they were sinful, right? They refused to enter into the ark. So the water saved Noah in terms of what? Cleansing. Right? So sin and the sinners died in the water. That's why when you read verse 21, it says, now there is an antitype similar to that. Is it not so?
Yeah.
So when we are baptized, the old man and the sin are washed away. That's the reason. You get what I'm saying now? Right? Now, you find that ark, when they entered into the ark, yeah, the water came down from heaven. The Bible says the window of heaven was open, yeah? So it came down. And then you know the spring, yeah, from the earth, yeah, broke open and gushed out. So the entire ark was surrounded by water. You understand what I'm saying? And so all these people outside were killed and they perished and sins washed away. Right? That's why Paul said, Peter said, now there is an antitype which saves us, namely baptism. So you find that the point of connection here is water. Is it also? Now, this Noah's family entered into the ark, through water they are saved. Now, we need to what? Baptize into Christ and into one body. That's why we say the ark represents the church. Now, by looking at the ark, you find that there is only one ark. I always think about this. You know. If God raised 10 families, yeah, to build 10 arks, you find that it would become more convincing for people to believe that what? The flood is coming. Is it also? Mm-hmm. Because so many people are doing the same thing at the same time. Right? And if this 10 family were to go out to tell people, look, God is going to destroy the world, please come into the ark, then I believe they could have saved some people. You know so? Yeah? But you find that God only chose one time. This has been the mind of God. And now, if you look at the ark, who built the ark? Noah. But did the ark belong to Noah? No. It belongs to God. Because the instruction came from God. So if you look at the church in this way, you feel very peaceful. Why? Because we don't believe in any founder in the church. Right? Because none of us is qualified or is worthy, yeah, to lay claim over the ownership of the church. Because I have never died for you. I have never shed my blood for you. Why should I say I'm the founder of the church? You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, so from there you can see that there's only one church. And you know, there's... Before I came here, I came to Zambia, I met a truth seeker. She is a bit... very argumentative. She said to me, look at the world, there are so many churches. Now you are telling me that only one church is safe? Are you saying that God is so cruel? God is going to destroy the entire world? Yeah? Only with one church that, you know, people are within can be saved? My answer is very simple. So ask her. I'm using the example of Noah. So ask her, excuse me, how many people entered the world? She told me 8. I said, what happened to the rest? They perished. I said, can you then say that God is cruel? You can't. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because God has already sent Noah to preach the truth of righteousness. It's just that they refuse to follow. Isn't it? They refuse to obey. Can anyone blame it on God? No. You can't. Right? And so this is the first point. Now the second point, I want to read Acts of the Apostle. We read chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Now we read verse 38.
There is he who was in the congregation of the wicked.
If you look at what version is it? NKJV. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you finish reading?
38. This is he who was in the congregation of the in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us.
Okay, now the word congregation, the original text is ecclesia, meaning church, isn't it? Now, how is it that there was a church in the wilderness? This is talking about the Exodus generation. Yeah? Exodus generation. You know, and this Stephen, before he was stoned to death, he actually preached a sermon. He was preaching. And then here he says that what? There was a church in the wilderness. According to his understanding, there was a church in the wilderness. He's very strange. What do you mean by there's a church in the wilderness? How does the church come about? You understand what I'm saying? Right? Okay. Now, I want you to read 1 Corinthians. Please read 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10, yeah? Now, you read verse 1 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians is after Romans. After Romans. Chapter 10, verse 1 and 2.
Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Okay. Now, according to Paul, when they crossed the Red Sea, that is a form of baptism, is it? So Moses was like the savior to them in the Old Testament. Why? Because he helped them part the sea, Red Sea, so people cross it. But that is baptism. Okay? Now, today we are baptized. We are baptized into Christ. Yeah? Now, you find that when they crossed the Red Sea, all the pursuing army of Pharaoh died and drowned in the Red Sea. Is that also? Yeah? Okay. Now, from then on, you find that they were no longer under the control of Pharaoh and Egypt. Is that also? Today we say we believe in Jesus. Yeah? Through baptism, we are free from sin and we are free from the world. Is that not true? Right. Okay. Now, why is this so important? The church in the desert is a concept which is so important to us. Now, I want you to read Exodus. Yeah? The book of Exodus. We read chapter 8. Yes, read chapter 8. Now, we read verse 25, and then we read verse 27, yes?
Chapter 7. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, go, sacrifice to your God in the land.
27.
We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he will command us.
So to sacrifice in the wilderness is the command from God. You find that if they remain in Egypt, yeah, even though they were to sacrifice, you find that the sacrifices are not acceptable. Because there was no separation between them and the... And yes, you're right. So when they cross the Red Sea, meaning baptism, then a church is established. Why? Because they were like baptized, isn't it? So today we need to be baptized in order to be in the church of God. Not only that, the church that you are in must be a separation. There must be a separation between you and the world. Meaning, your sin must be removed or forgiven when you go through baptism. Right? If the baptism that you take does not remove sin, then you are still very much in the world. You are still very much in Egypt. Right? So that's why we said baptism must be efficacious, meaning your baptism must be effective with the presence of God, with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I cannot forgive anyone's sin, to be honest. I'm nothing, I'm just like you. Right? Now, why is it that the baptism performed by us has the power to forgive sin? It's because of the Holy Spirit. And that makes the difference. Right? Otherwise, we are not part of the church of God, according to the scriptures. We are still very much remain in Egypt. So that's why when you talk about the church, you need to understand this very well. Now, it's a separate. It's about separation between what? Between you and the world. There must be a line of distinction drawn very clearly. Right? Okay. I want to read Matthew. Chapter 16. Yeah, after this, you'll be able to check it if you really think this thing. Matthew chapter 16, read verse 18. Verse 18. Probably you want to read verse 18.
Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, the Bible reads. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and one of these rocks will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
Okay, now, this is like a mystery given by Jesus to Peter, right? He said, and I said to you that you are Peter. You know, if you look at the word Peter, it means what? Small rock, yeah? Little rock, right? Now, you know that at that time, Peter was like a head figure in the church. Is it not so? And yet Jesus said, look, you are only a small rock. But I will build my church on this rock. Who is this rock? No, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
And so I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, yeah? Again, chapter 10. Verse 4.
And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
That rock was Christ, right? Now, so Jesus made it very clear, his church is never to be built on any person, including Peter. Even though he was a head figure, the head figure in the church at the time. But the church was not built on him. It's not like some people say, I think the Roman Catholic Church say the first pope is Peter. That's not true. Okay? Now, so, it's on the rock, Jesus himself. Okay? Now, if you read on here, it said, and the gates of the Hades shall not prevail against it. Okay, there are quite a few important points here. First, he said, I build my church. Okay, it means the church belongs to Jesus, isn't it? And how many church does he build? One. That's why he said, my church. He does not say, my churches. No, one. My church. Only one, yeah? Now, the other thing is, when you talk about the rock, this is the foundation. Because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11, Jesus is the foundation which has been laid, yeah, and no one should lay another foundation because the foundation has already been laid. Right? Okay, now, the foundation here means the truth. The church must be built upon the truth of God. Right? Or the church, the existence of the church is the result of what? The truth being revealed. So that people are saved, you know, and as a result, the church is built up. Okay? So, if you have not known the truth, then what happened? you will not know the church. You get what I'm saying? Because the church is built upon the foundation. Right? So, the next thing is, very clearly, here it says, right? And what? The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What is the gate of Hades? Power of darkness, power of sin, have no power over the church. But if you look at churches today, yeah, like the question asked by the deacon, are you sure that you can keep the Ten Commandments? It means that they have no power. You know, power is not from us. Power is from God. So if I yield to the Spirit, if I have the Holy Spirit, keeping the Ten Commandments is not a problem. It's really not a problem. We will not sin against God, you know, we will not sin against man, we will not kill, we will not commit adultery or whatever. Why? Because the Spirit is in our heart. We yield to the Spirit. So we have the power to overcome. You understand what I'm saying? So today, you find that churches are very much under sin. Again, I give you a very simple example. Because you don't live in the Western world, you don't know how corrupt the Western world is. You know, now the church, they accept what? Gay priests. Homosexual priests. Why? Because they say, oh, everyone is the same, you know, civil right, you know, blah, 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 blah. Actually, it's an excuse because they don't have the power to overcome sin. And that's why they even legalize all kind of sin in the church. It goes to show that now Christianity, yeah, in the face of the world today, is the worst religion. It's true, you know? If you look at Buddhism, if you look at Islamic faith, yeah, if you look at Hinduism, none of them has done such a thing to legalize sin like Christian do. None. It goes to show that the church has lost the power of God. And it's very far away from God. It's true. Right? Now, that's why, if you turn back to Luke, mentioned by our brother, chapter 24, now what kind of message we are preaching today? I want you to read chapter 24. Verse 47. 24.
And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem.
Now, what kind of message is that? Repentance and remission of sins. Must be preached. What? Yes. Now, look at Christianity. What do Christians preach today? Money, money. Is that so? What seed faith?
Seed faith.
Is that so? Don't talk about repentance and remission of sin now. Why? Because the church has lost the power. Completely lost. If you look at the apostles, what did they do? Repentance and the remission of sin. From the very, very, very first day on the day of Pentecost. Is that true? What did they say? Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. But today, churches don't talk about this anymore. You can see how far we have been drifting away from God. Right? Now, I just want to confirm this, yeah? You turn to Acts chapter 5. Chapter 5, you read verse 31, yeah? Chapter 5, verse 31. Acts of the Apostle.
He in God has exalted his right hand and to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins.
Now, what did they preach? Yes! That's the key message. That's the key message. Even when you come to, when they speak to the Gentiles, yes? Okay. Now, I want you to read chapter 11. Okay, this is what Peter said, okay? Peter said, verse 11, I read, okay? If therefore God gave them the same gift as He gave us when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Verse 18, when they heard this thing, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. If there's no forgiveness of sin, there will be no life, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So repentance to life. Let's talk about this. What does Christianity talk about today? If you flip through the book of Acts, practically this is the pattern. Repentant or life or repentant for the forgiveness of sin. Or you turn and then you receive what? Forgiveness of sin. Meaning if you're converted, you receive the forgiveness of sin. This is the teaching, this is the message. But today, churches don't talk about it. That's why only the Church of God talk about this. Why? Because the power is there with the presence of the Holy Spirit. The forgiveness can be achieved. Right? Okay. Any other point concerning the church? Oh, you have a question? You're free to ask.
There is, or maybe you can also refer to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 2. Begin from verse 2. Shall we chapter 4? I write in Jesus' name. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and He shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. When we look at this chapter, in chapter 2 and verse 2, 3 and 4, you see it is here saying in the latter days, right? It says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. Right? Can you see that one? There is a mountain and mountains. Which means there is one mountain which is more than other mountains, isn't it? As it is, let us look at it critically there. It's saying that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain. That means there are all these mountains surrounding around it, eh? But this mountain is above other mountains. Now, what will happen? What will these people who are in these other mountains do, right? It goes on to say, And shall be exalted above hills. That means there are mountains and hills surrounding it. It is above all other mountains and hills. In verse 3, people will do what? Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. To do what? He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth what? The law. So, when we look at verse 3, it is telling us that it is this mountain, which is above mountains and hills, where the law will come from. And it is where the true teachings will come from, isn't it? Because it is saying, many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountains of the Lord, to the house of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his what? His ways. So there is only one mountain where people are to flock to, and where the good teachings will come from, the truth will come from. And after they have learned, what does it say? 3b, for out of Zion shall go forth the law. Which law? The law of God. Can the law of God come from so many mountains? No. God is true, aye? So, if God is true, then this Zion, the name Zion, is another title for the church, right? The church. The church is above the mountain, and then it is from this church where the law of God will come from. After the people have been taught, right, what will be the end result, the precipitate of it? That means when look at the world today, look at the world today. Is there peace? No. Brother is fighting against brother, sister, nation after nation, etc., etc. But when look at verse 4, what will happen after these people have been taught how to live? How to live peacefully with others. From where? From this mountain, which is, as Zion says, the spears, and their spears. And a nation shall not lift up sword against what? Nation. Meaning, there will be no fighting. Why? Because now we have been taught the truth and how we should live in harmony with one another. And apart from, neither shall they learn war anymore. You get me there? So it is out of the true body of Christ, the true church of God, this mountain, which is Mount Zion, where the law will come from, which will guide us. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. Oh, this is the law of God, isn't it? If we kept it by the power of the Holy Spirit, really, can we fight? What causes fighting? Breaking the law. We still envy for when we are so eager for posts. You want to be a president, you rise against another president in that country, say, no, this one is not leading properly. It's because of your ego, that self in you. But when you know the truth, because the leadership comes from God, isn't it? And when it comes from God, we need that person to lead. And after his expiry date, then another one comes in. God will choose his leaders, right? Apart from Isaiah chapter 4, chapter 2, even Micah chapter 4, verse 1, read the same. These people did not sit together to write I. They wrote it at different times. But the same wording. You know what I'm talking about? The same. No difference. It says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above hills, and peoples shall flow to it. That means they'll run to it for what? Safety, for education, so to say. Aye. For to learn more on how to live in harmony with others. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. It means, for me, when I look at this one, it means when there is chaos, pandemonium, confusion all over, all around the world, when this truth comes to people now flock to this mountain, which is Mount Zion, which has got the right way of living, they will go there to be taught. Let's give, for example, there is a food here, and you are not taught how to eat properly. You just say, on your marks, get set, go. What will happen? Confusion, aye. That's the confusion which is in churches today. Right? There's too much confusion in the church. But you say, this mountain, this church, Mount Zion, that's where the law of God comes. The law guides us, right? On how we should live, how we should do, what things we should say, at what time, with what. And this can only come from the body of Christ, which is the body of Christ, which is his true church. Paul mentions it also in the First Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy, I think. Yes. Chapter 3. Verse 14, we read, I'll read from 14:15. It says, but if I am delayed, 15, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the what? Truth. Now, when we look at that one, when you say the pillar and the ground and the pillar, when you look at this house, I don't think if she, Brother Aubrey built it just without pillars, right? That's why there are these corners, right? Yes. And the ground means the foundation, isn't it? To hold it firm. Of what? Of the truth. That means the truth can only come from where? The church of what? Of God. Why? Because even God himself is what? True. According to John chapter 8, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you what? Free. Verse 38, it goes on to say what? If the Son of God shall make you free, you shall be free. Indeed. So, that which belongs to God has no lies. Is that correct? So if you belong to the true body of Christ, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, then you are all right. Goes on with verse 16, says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Then he talks about now God himself, Jesus Christ, how he appeared. Well, I can read that one. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by the angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on the on in the world, received up into what? Into the glory. So we see that all is focusing on the one body of Christ, which is the true church of God, which is above all churches. If I can I ask you, Franco, just as the preacher alluded to in the beginning, to say God created just an ark, or made an, I mean, yes, through Noah, or by Noah, he made one ark. If he wanted to save so many people, he was going to make so many arks. Aye. But he decided to make it. How many ways do we have for salvation? One. Jesus says what? I am the way. John 14:69. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto my Father except through me. So, if you don't go through Jesus, then you cannot be in his body. You cannot be part of his body. So we see that we need to belong to this body where we can find salvation, or where we can be saved. There are not so many, till I'd already been prophesied from the beginning to say there will be a mountain, this mountain will be above all mountains and what? Hills. Today we have got so many churches. Just as they alluded to also, you find that most of the messages which are coming out of these churches are more about getting wealth. If I want to pray for you, bring 20,000 kwacha, I'll pray for you, and you'll be healed. Just to make somebody rich, aye, or bring 50,000 kwacha, 100,000 kwacha, I'll do this and this for you. Now, give an example of Jesus himself. Did he ask for anything? No. Those who were sick, it was by faith, aye. Just believe. So even us today, we need to belong to this body of Christ, which is his church. We can also look at when we look at a body, sometimes people get confused. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Right. Well, I want you to read from, we shall read from 21 to 23. Aye. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. It says, far above all prosperity and power and mighty and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his what? His body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So, when we look at this one, this verse, this one here, the body of Christ, God himself is there in all entirety, isn't it? And that's why in Isaiah and Micah, it says, let us go there. And that's where we are going to be taught how we are to live, peacefully, harmoniously, whatever we can describe, we can say, this lack of better words. So we need to be part of this body in order for us to create, even from today, even in the days to come, peace in the world. But it's not easy. But we need to be saved in order to be, we need to belong to this body in order to what? To be saved. This true body of what? Of Christ, which is his church. Okay.
You know, just now you mentioned about Mount Zion. I want you to read, just to confirm that it refers to the church. I want you to read Hebrews. We read a couple of verses from the New Testament scriptures and then we flip to the Old Testament scriptures. Chapter 12. Verse 22. Yeah. Okay, I read it. Yeah. But you have come to Mount Zion, you talk about Mount Zion, it's the city of the living God. It's the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Yeah. Church of the firstborn means those who have been redeemed, those who belong to God. You know, in the ancient time, in the Old Testament time, the firstborn are to be given to God, right? To be given to God. That's why we, having been baptized, we become what? The church of the firstborn, because we all belong to God. Right? We are in the body of Christ. This is Mount Zion. Okay, now, I want you to read Isaiah 51. We read verse 16. Okay. And I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shade of my hand. Then I may plant the heavens, lay the foundation of the earth, and said to Zion,
you are my people.
People, can you see that? Zion, in the context of the scriptures, does not refer to the literal mountain. It refers to God's people. So, one more verse, yeah? Psalms 74.
Yes, Psalms.
We read verse 2.
Sorry.
Oh, no. Remember the
conversation.
Remember your congregation, you are purchased of all, the tribe of your heritage, you are redeemed. This Mount Zion where you have dwelt. Can you see? So it refers again to people, the congregation whom God has redeemed. Huh? Okay. Any questions? Any questions? No questions? No questions?
Since she has remained behind.
Okay.
She has been lost somewhere.
So quite clearly there's only one. There's only one. That's cool. Okay. Any other subject that you want us to talk about? Any other topics?
This church we are talking about is Jesus Christ. Right?
Yes.
So in short, you have said that the true Jesus Church is founded by Jesus Christ.
Mm.
In the foundation, there is no one who can claim to be a God of
There isn't a founder in the church, apart from the Spirit. Without Jesus Christ.
I think here the meaning is clear. You have to assess that. When I start something, I'm laying the foundation for this house. And then it's for my children. I don't have time to come and say, no, this is the house, get out of this house. Just because I'm the one who's helping. And this ministry whereby they say, me, I'm the founder of this church. Do you know what they do? Once there's something wrong, he has committed any sin or something wrong against the members. You know what they do? He just say, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you better get out of this church. Why? Because they claim to be the founders of that ministry. So in the actual sense, what they are trying to say is, the founder of the church of God itself is him. Christ is the one who died for the church. And he purchased with his blood. No one is able to claim. Neither. Okay, for example, if I go to Senanga myself, I start through Jesus Christ there. I don't have power to say, I'm the one who brought it here in Senanga. Who am I?
But people are saying.
Yeah, you know, that's why I say, when they say that, because when I'm trying to go contrary to the word of God, when they try to convince me to say, no, here you are wrong. I just say, after all, I'm the one who brought it here. Where do you want me to go? If you don't believe, then go. Why? Because they misuse now the church of God, because they claim to be the owners. Yet there is no owner. The owner is only God, the founder of the church.
You know, in the true Jesus church, you know, whoever doesn't follow the word, God has his way to remove him. Sometimes not even by human. God just has his way to remove the person. Because it's the church of God.
You see, if I can also talk about Mark and I. I do have the power to go and tell Makande to say, move out from being a bishop. You are just a member. Can I agree?
No.
Why?
It's a claim to be the founder.
The founder.
Apostle.
Apostle. PhD, blah, 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 etc., etc. And that's why that's why most of the people even misuse the word ministries. And what ministry are you? Because they form those ministries, the foundation is not the rock, Jesus Christ himself. But the person. And that's why there are so many heresies there. There are so many confusions there. You cannot tell them to say, you find maybe his son or his wife will continue. Not anyone who is not part and parcel of the family. Family will progress, will carry on. No. It is from father, son, or father, husband, wife, son, daughter, blah, 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 carrying on. Right? Why? Because it's family affair. Okay. But as far as true Jesus Church is concerned, already we have been taught to say the rock is Jesus. Aye? Aye. Peter, he alluded to that one in the first place. On this rock I'll build my church. So he was not talking about Peter to be the founder, no? Neither was he talking, even if FF today dies, the church will continue. Even if Raphael dies today.
Thank you.
The change will continue. Will continue. Hey.
By the way, he's older.
So, our basis, we base on the truth, which is here in the Bible. Okay. Sometimes, see, if I give this example, that imagine the chovare chai, I put it here with the same color with others. And then they say, you go and pick your track top. Can I forget to pick it? No. Even if it is the same type. No. I will know it, I. Because it belongs to me. That's why even our Jesus said, if my people who are called by my... Yeah. Can you see? He did not say my people are called by the name of FF or Johnny or TK, what, but my name, the name of God himself. So he is the creator, so to say. He's the genesis of everything. And he's the end of everything. The church, if it means to end, then it means God should also end. Is that correct? But does God end? Is he the beginning? No. So no one should claim. We are only there to take rescue. Aye, our refuge is in the church, the body of Christ. Saved, just as the people went in the ark, the eight of them. If at all they did not enter in the ark, were they going to be saved? No. But look at the rest of the people who said, no, we can't. They are joking. Rivers, there are no rivers here. And you are building that big boat. I think you are mad, right? And in my own view, meditation, I look at the people. Some of them even touched the boat. Some of them even brought the sticks to fool him, right? But at the end of the day, what happened? They began to cry. Aye. The same person they cried to, they were laughing at. They said, hey, no one open the door, open, we are dying. Did Noah say, yes, I made this boat, so I'm going to open it for you? No, what did he say? God has closed the door. So Noah also was saying, this boat is not mine, it is for God. So whatever is for God belongs to God, and no one has to change it. Amen.
Any other question? You believe in one true God? One true God, Jesus is God. So it's not a problem. Any other topic you want to talk about?
There's a question which he asked in the lesson
yesterday. You fed you by baptism?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. You fed baptism.
You want to. You want to talk about
it? No, you're right here. I'm chipping.
I'm also chipping. That's good. You're feeling like you're rested for so long.
I don't know.
No. Okay.
Try it.
Okay. You know, infant baptism. First of all, we need to establish that an infant has sinned. Right now, we know that the wages of sin is death. So everyone dies, regardless of how old you are. Even a child 1 day old or 1 hour old can live up to 100 years old, but you still die one day. Mm-hmm. Right? So, and according to the scriptures, this is sin, isn't it? It's the result of sin. But I want you to read Romans. Let's first turn to Romans. You read chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Now we read verse 12. Can I go? Let me see. Yeah. Okay, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because of sin. Now, when this statement, the statement actually tells us that when Adam sinned, all men died. Anyone who came from him already died. Right? Mm. Already died. Mm. That's why it says spread to all men because of sin. This Adam, initially he was a good man. I mean, good in the sense that he was created in the righteousness of God. And because of sin entered, so whoever later on, came from him, all died, according to this. Yeah? Now, so the thing is this, we all died, so that's why we need Jesus. Okay? Now, I think that the confusion is because many Christians believe that for a child to be baptized or for a person to be baptized, he needs to repent. Am I right? Is that also? Yeah? So if a person is not able to repent, then how can you baptize him? Or how can you baptize her? Is that so? Right? Now, coming back to the issue of sin, we know there are two types of sin. One is from Adam. According to chapter 5, verse 12, isn't it? Mm. Yeah. Once a person is born, he is born into sin. Whether you like it or not, he is born into the sin. Because sin entered into the world, so when he is born into this world, he is in sin. Okay? That's the first one. Now the second one is self-committed sin. Like if you look at the baby, apart from being born into this world and having this sin in it, this sin that passed down, right? He has no other sin. He does not have self-committed sin. Why? Because he's not capable of lying. He's not capable of stealing. He's not capable of falsely accusing someone. Blah, 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 blah. The list go on. Okay? So, he is free from self-committed sin. Is that not true? Okay. Now, I want you to read Acts of the Apostle. Chapter 2. Chapter 2. Okay, now we always use verse 38 as the reason for not baptizing infant, because the infant is not capable of repenting. Now, I want you to understand how does this formula come about? Now, if you read verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It's a question posed to Peter upon hearing what he preached. Is it also? Now, because Peter was saying, look, you people actually were present at the crucifixion of Christ. You were consented, you consented to the death of Christ. Is it also? Mm-hmm. Now, so upon hearing what Peter said, obviously their heart were pierced. Right? So they said to Peter, what shall we do now? Please help. And Peter provided this formula. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. So this formula actually is given for those who have committed what? Self-committed sin. For an infant, he or she does not have any self-committed sin. Now, why force upon someone who has not committed any sin to confess
the sin?
The sin? Or to force someone to confess the sin that he has not committed? It's not from him, it's from Adam, isn't it so? Why do you force someone to confess the sin? It doesn't make sense. You understand what I'm saying now? Right? That's why we believe, yeah? We believe, according to the scriptures, we baptize infant together with the believing family. For example, when you want to get baptized, they say you and your wife want to get baptized. So, we baptize you together with the
children.
If you don't believe, we will not baptize the children. Simple as that. You understand what I'm saying? And oh, we will not simply go out to the street and grab any children and baptize them. No. We won't do that. You get what I'm saying? Only we baptize children with their believing family. Otherwise we won't do that. Okay, now, can we find any support in the scriptures for doing this kind of thing? I want to ask you a question. You know, God made a covenant with Abraham. Remember?
Yes.
Yeah? And in chapter 12, yeah? And then in chapter 17, circumcision, isn't it?
Yes.
How old must a male child be?
Yes. 8 days, yeah? What if a male child is not circumcised after 8 days?
It's
not part of the covenant, isn't it? Okay. Today, can you not see that this covenant, the blessing of Abraham, yeah? The blessing of Abraham continued until now? Is it also? Now, how are we going to get this blessing? Baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Is it also? Alright, we read that Galatians chapter 3. Okay, we read Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Oh, verse 29, yeah? 27, for as many of you were baptized into Christ and put on Christ, there is neither Greek nor Jews nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, for neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, again according to the promise. So, because we are part of this promise, therefore we can receive the blessing of Abraham.
Mm.
Now you can imagine, today we say, no, children are too young because they are not capable of confessing or repenting or confessing their sin, therefore they shouldn't be baptized. We are saying that the coming of Christ, yeah, has been done, or the blessing of God is to be given to the exclusion of the children. Does it make sense to you?
No.
In the Old Testament time, children are given this blessing. And now in the New Testament time, we say no. Right? Because they are not old enough to repent. You get what I'm saying? Right? Okay, now, I want to ask you a question. You know, just now we talked about crossing the Red Sea, represent baptism, didn't it?
Yes.
Did they bring their children across the Red Sea?
Yes.
Did all the children of Israel cross the Red Sea?
Yes.
Yes! So, were they not baptized?
Mm-hmm.
According to 1 Corinthians, were they not baptized?
Mm-hmm.
They were baptized. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now, another point is, let's say this young child here, right, he doesn't know how to exercise his faith, right, to exhibit his faith. But for the parents here, as long as you believe, your faith can have an impact on him.
Mm.
There are many such examples in the Gospel, right? Is it not true?
Mm.
Let's say the parents, yeah, came to Jesus, begged Jesus, please, my daughter is sick. And Jesus said, by your faith, yeah, and your daughter is healed.
Mm.
Is it also? Even the centurion.
Mm.
Remember the centurion?
Yes.
He has a very sick servant. Yeah? The Bible says he was dreadfully tormented. So he came to Jesus, and Jesus said, according to your faith, and your servant is healed. And true enough, the servant was
healed.
Mm. So your faith can have an impact. But the important thing is, after baptism, you must bring the children up in the way of the Lord. That's the main point. Right? Now, I want to read a few verses. We turn to Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 16,
Okay, we read verse 15, huh? Verse 15. And when she and her household were baptized, talking about Lydia, she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. So here it talks about the household. She and her household were baptized. You know, some people say, oh, how do you know that this household has infant? Okay, fair enough. Let's say no infant. Right? Okay, now look at the second example. The same chapter, verse 25 onwards, here it talks about the jailer, you know, who wanted to kill himself when the prison door was sprung open, you know, when God came to deliver, you know, Paul and Silas. So he wanted to commit suicide. And so Paul said, no, don't harm yourself, we are still here, right? And so he said to Paul, okay, now we read verse 30. And he brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? Now look at the implication given here. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Okay, now, if you read verse 33, and he took them the same hour and night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Okay. The entire family were baptized, okay? Now, it's, again, some people argue, how do you know there's an infant? Okay, fine. Okay, let's say there's no infant. Put it aside. Okay, you read that first one again. Chapter 1. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We read verse 16, yeah? Yes, I also baptize a household of Stephanus. Besides, I do not know whether I baptize anyone. Again, here it says, the household of Stephanus. Can we still say that there's no infant? Three examples. Three is more than enough to prove anything. So in the times of New Testament, they always baptize the believing adults together with the family. You get what I'm saying? That's why we baptize him. Right? Is that okay? Any question?
Yeah, I've heard about this, but if you look at the difficulty, Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus is writing the disciples.
He who believes and is baptized. He's talking about preaching, okay?
Go and preach the word.
He
who believes and
is baptized. So, okay, you look at it in this way. Obviously, when you preach, okay, you preach, right? People who believe, then they will be baptized. But you know that infant cannot be preached to because infants won't be able to understand what they're talking about. So that formula applies to those who can understand. You understand what I'm saying? But for an infant, you can't understand. And there are countless examples, I said many examples in the Bible, which tell us that what? Believing adults are baptized together with their family.
If you Cornelius, the same.
Yeah, the whole family.
The whole family. They received the Holy Spirit, the whole family, and they were baptized, the entire family.
The entire family includes the slave.
Even the slaves.
Yes,
after when I look at the crossing of the Red Sea, for me, it is not specifically the entire family, even their properties.
Everything.
Let's go back in the book of Job, chapter 14.
Yes, Job.
Job, chapter 14.
Job chapter
14, verse 4. Verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of unclean? No one. Nani ungafunya ichintu ichisuma kufuma mchintu chawama takuna kuna. So matalo shapa tatisambisha concerning two things. Ulubembu, lwakufia wana lwena. Umwa iche na mwamu kalamba, wonsi tu lafuna kota kuyoka. That's a sin from Adamic sin committed from there. Then kulubembu lwomintu mwine ayu pangi afit. That's a sin which some a person to confess or to repent for, whereby a child cannot repent for that sin. Now, apa since name fia shua kwe, no le fia lo mwana, na liko wa lo manda lo lwembu, mbaya ipusha, na nunga funya, ichi nitu chusuma, ufu mamu chintu chako we. Psalm 51. And verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Psalms 51, verse 5.
Verse 5.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Ndire la leso apache hicho, inina letewe mampolo. Kamulubembo, emu mayo anjimitiri. Diafe ndee fialo, ufamuli mayo ndee fialo mulubembo. Weta ndee fwana mshile fwaya, I'm bound to die. Different. Now, full of which means, now from the Lord, we are then kissing. Romans 3:23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. At point, once we are bembuka, no kupelebelewa kubukato wakwalesa. That is the funya kumokuru mwaiti The key, once we are bembuka, no kupelebelewa kubukato wakwalesa. Number, ichi defwa ikwapa, pa utufume mundi chichin, tu kupelebelewa kubukato wakwashikolesa. Because now there is no relationship between me and God. Before the baptism, apart the same thing. Now, for me to reconcile to God, to be reconciled to God, I need to be baptized. But no, I'm from Muluven Bobuja. In Sanguke, including no one else, I'm from Muluven Bobuja, Adamic sin. Najatumuan Abachiwa, Afmaku Luven Bobuja. Now, we end up for to me, I consider the death for somebody who's a believer, a lala fiturro, that's why. Because no more Muntu, Nafmakunshi. Holy spiritual death, nafumako. Afumamu fifi, aisa kumwela. So, natalo shapa yichipingo chile tuanga fia pago tatu what we need all to be baptized. But no matufume, ulo lulwembu, nisa nomba, mwisa, mwela opia. Enga tu afumamu lifu wala chishewa. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Second, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All the things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, muntu ngaba chwa amri Kristo ni shiave chumba chipi. Tawari concerned inani risulesa. So that's why it's very important. Tumukuru, no mano onso kwa chwa. Tawengo wenu bai buta yapa tuapa mukuru ngumwa cha. Household, they do pay the agreement. There is no agreement. Ila wodi dipa. That's why mwezi na kwa Lydia wasmine na wanga ndayo kwaonse. Lydia believed, then baptized with her household. They learned that Lydia believed, and this household believed. No, he said Lydia believed. Lydia aritika ekali na wanga nda kumose awatishio.
So I just want to ask maybe there are two questions. Which among these two kinds of sins will lead someone to hell? Personal committed sin or Adamic sin?
Both. The sin lead to death.
Yeah.
So, you know, for self-committed sin, you need to confess. To show that you truly want to repent, you want to turn away from it. Repentance is required. But for someone who has not committed any sin, there's no need for him to repent. Is that also?
Okay.
Just like an infant, what he is required to do is just to have this sin removed through baptism.
The second one is, suppose today you baptize a child, for example, his baby. Without or somewhere somehow the child is not told that we're baptized, and when he grows up he confesses, does he need to be baptized again even without knowing that he was baptized?
You see, the thing is once you are baptized into Christ, you are in Christ Jesus, right? Now that's why we said the family or the parents have the duty to bring the child to the way of the Lord. According to the power of community, you need to bring the child up in the way of the Lord. Okay, some people question, what if the child later on, when he has grown up, sin against God?
Yeah.
What he needed to do is to confess.
Confess, yes.
Even, let's say now I'm baptized, okay, I'm an adult, I get baptized now. And you cannot guarantee that I'm no sin. Is it so? What if I sin, what can I do? Can I be baptized? No. All I needed to do is to confess my sin.
First, I hate that the SDA don't they baptize 3 times?
That is the Ketura.
There's only one baptism, one correct form of baptism. A person can only be baptized once if he has been baptized correctly.
But then the guy will keep on baptizing someone to see.
So it's like re-crucifying.
For 3 times when you fall.
Re-crucifying. Yeah.
Re-crucifying Jesus first.
Then I don't know. It's just an assumption to say. I think this question, you should maybe go to the king or his honor, we can answer this one. Because for instance, there are cases maybe in your hospitals where a baby is just born. Maybe within just a few hours, few minutes, that child dies. What happens in such instances? I tell you that child will just go straight to hell.
No, I think in this case we can only leave it to God.
Yeah,
I think you had an answer.
That's basic.
the other answer,
if this child is born from a family which is not a believer, maybe can I say unbelieving family, a wicked family, does it mean that child will be saved? Because according to the Bible, Job 14, Psalm 15, is saying the same thing.
The same
as Noah destroyed those people who were not in the ark, including the children. The same as there. No salvation for
they
the
people. They perish.
Yeah. They are wicked generation. How can they be saved?
Yes, sir.
I think I'm clear on this. I'm very clear on this to say. Because I think the church where we are going, what is happening, they are not baptizing anyone. So just if you have a baby, you take that child to dedication. Dedicate that child to Jesus, to God.
No, just getting there. You remember that Fontema is in general. You look at Jesus said, I'm glad the children will come unto me for the kingdom of God and invite me. So that's where the foundation, or the base, not foundation.
When you talk about Jesus concerning education, first he was circumcised. That's when he brought into the temple.
Yes.
If you feel that. Which was the antitype?
Yes, for Jesus, yes. First was circumcised.
He was circumcised. They did not put Jesus into the temple without circumcision.
Even those who were coming to Jesus, whom Jesus was saying, don't say children should not come to me. There were those who were circumcised already 8 days in. Already they are all dead. And especially male ones, so to say. So they were circumcised. That is another type of baptism, to have part with God, belonging to Abraham. That is another type of baptism in those days. So Mukasiavana, imagine this house is on fire. And you are you just going to run out to yourself? You leave children here, Mkatati. Ah, Mizao, eh? Is that the way you are going to do it?
Go to each one for himself.
After you even prefer, you die, your child gets saved, die.
Because after Shapati. Let's say before the children of Israel were from Egypt. To me, there are three things there. Balava na wali kutumro pa salvation. Tava di kunse. Rubadi di mpanga wali mkati. Second, wali pitiyo menshi. Third, there was a crowd, the symbol of the Holy Spirit. All these things wali fukwet. Tava di kunse. And also they partake the lamp. Tava watanine.
Tava di diya.
Why look at our history? Why today? Why? Why are we segregating? Oh yeah, before you.
Okay,
very good.
Maybe I have to focus on.
Okay, we talk about
Footwashing. Still have Footwashing.
Okay. Now, after baptism, there is now foot washing. After baptism, the papa kokusa mama kasa. I'm a church. I get to the church. Having gone to church,
Mulondo. Wakapiyonga Mulondo is saying to get to the. We don't do that, but they can say maybe. Yeah, they will not understand it. Get to the.
Yes, you can go ahead.
established one. The Passover is our who were in the world and loved him to the into the heart of Jesus Christ, Simon's son, the father, Jesus the spirit, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Therefore, rose from supper and laid aside his garment.
John chapter 13.
Took a towel and gave it himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them from himself. So he had Nishta, even Jesus Christ, I should know, but Nishta, he was a guy. So he did a lot of work. He did a lot of work. Okubanga shikulu ali mine okusamba makasa abasambi bakwe. So ali chepeshe nokubule itawo agakamusana ali fula obuchinani wakwete ali fula buleso wakwete nokufula yes aishe mkutumika aishe mkutumikirwa aishe mkutumika so okubanga wakutumika aishe